Hi, my name is Deirdre, and I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from anxiety, control, and people-pleasing. Hey, Deirdre. Hi. I was blessed to grow up with two parents who professed the faith and encouraged church attendance each week, as well as attendance to alternate programs that would strengthen my faith. However, this is where my understanding stopped. I went because it was the right thing to do. And if I was honest with myself, trying to do the right thing for others dictated much of my life. I wanted to make others happy or proud and didn't quite care what it took to obtain that. Once I hit second grade, we moved houses and I started attending a small Christian school. With only 12 kids in my class, it meant you had to be friends with everyone. There, I entered into a friendship with someone that was toxic. I was manipulated and hurt regularly. She controlled situations and was the mastermind behind psychological abuse as well as sexual abuse. It was so toxic that I feared my life sometimes. She had a binder of ways that she planned to kill herself, down to the detail, and brought it out many times to refer to. I genuinely thought I would be victim of a murder-suicide made to look like a suicide pact. The friendship broke me. This led me to anxiety, body image issues, control, discontentment, hopelessness, and lack of trust of my own feelings and emotions, going as far as to wonder, did I want to partake in the plans that she had laid out? Anxiety continued to wage war inside me, and at times I even feared leaving my own home. It became such a constant for me that we coined our family verse, Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. However, it wasn't something discussed in the home. Even when clinically diagnosed with anxiety much later in life, when seeking help, my family's response was not to tell anyone, so their perception of me would not change. This led to isolation, further insecurity, and anxiety. I had to grow up very quickly and deal with heavy life being thrown from every direction. In 1 month during seventh grade, I lost my grandfather, who I was close to, watched my grandmother, his wife, have a stroke, and my dad have a stroke. I was mad at this God, whom I had been made to believe would comfort me when I needed it, but he felt so distant. I knew about him, but I didn't truly have a relationship with him. My dad experienced multiple strokes as I grew up and endured brain damage along the way. This made him act out in ways that I knew was not actually my dad, but still left painful wounds that I would carry with me until adulthood. I was told by him constantly that I was not good enough to be a Sullivan, that I was an embarrassment to be called his daughter, for simple things like forgetting to take out the trash on time. But what this translated to was me trying so hard to gain and keep his approval. I never settled. I worked as much as I could to gain his approval and avoid interactions that would leave me feeling unworthy, invisible, or a disappointment. I kept up this pace for a long time, including at work, always saying yes to extra responsibility or bending over backwards to help others, even when it was damaging and hurting me. I allowed work and the people at work to be the thing that dictated my worth. I felt validated when I could show I had done something right or go above and beyond for a patient, a team member, or my unit. I remember joining a community group at Watermark and being encouraged by other women in the group to join Regen. I made every excuse possible to avoid doing the work because that meant feeling feelings and recovering from them. I don't remember what finally made it click, but I knew I needed help. I had a friend that encouraged me to start with her. I remember our friends coming to cheer us on as we came to large group for the first time. And I'll never forget leaning over, half joking, half not, and whispering to her, "Okay, they saw us here. We can sneak out when it's time to go to the next part. They'll never know." But I'm so glad we stayed. The life change that came from that decision to stay was instrumental. In step one, admit. I had to admit to myself and others I cared more and believed more what others had to say about me than what my Heavenly Father had to say about me. I believed the "you are a disappointment and a failure" narrative more than I believed that I was chosen, loved, created with a purpose, and most of all, that I was a forgiven child of the one true God. When I let down my earthly father, I learned that I would be met with discipline, anger, and feeling like a disappointment. When I let down my Heavenly Father, I am met with grace, forgiveness, and love. In the final week of inventory, I read the first day's title and felt convicted. You matter to God. Why did God care about me? Why did he choose me? Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My mentor from Regen may laugh at hearing me say that verse because each time she reminded me of that verse, I'd roll my eyes, and I'm amazing at the eye roll. For me, this verse came down to head versus heart knowledge. In third grade, we memorized all of Psalm 139. Therefore, I knew that I was wonderfully made and that he was the one that made me that way. But all I saw in myself were the ways that I was a disappointment. Step 5, confess, gave me the most comfort to know I could confidently share my past and all my sin with others. The Lord knows me, every part of me, and every detail of my life, and loves me despite my past. This is when the heart knowledge of Psalm 139 finally started to take root, and I began to understand the weight that he searched me and he knows me and still chose to offer the amazing free gift of salvation through his death on the cross for my sins. And because of those truths, I could share everything with others. Since finishing Regen, my walk with the Lord has been transformative. As they always say, recovery is a lifelong process, and we are never done. During my last trip to Chicago, where I grew up, I felt a tug from the Holy Spirit to spontaneously meet up with someone from my past. When I saw her, I realized I had unforgiveness I had been holding on to, and it was something I had unintentionally left off my inventory. As we got to talking, I heard her heart for the Lord and for his people, and we began to have a faith-based conversation. The freedom I felt when my heart softened towards her and I was able to forgive her was indescribable. In step 8, forgive, there is a quote that has resonated with me, and I felt that day. Forgiveness doesn't make the other person right. It makes you free. And that is how I felt, free. I walked to my car, cried, and thanked the Lord for his provision that allowed each step of that day to play out the way it did. As I frequently say, God knows what he's doing. And that day, he truly knew. Since commencing from Regen, I have found more freedom to have conversations with my parents and others about hurts and not holding on to them. But I have also been able to confess sin far more readily and frequently. I was able to recognize that I had been bitter towards God and my parents for moving to Iowa, but in reality, if we had stayed in Chicago, that childhood friendship would have continued, and the sexual and psychological abuse would have continued for who knows how long. I could again see that God knew what he was doing. He knew I had to be physically removed from the environment that I was in. I have also found the freedom to walk away from a job that was hurting me and found a new job that allows me to have a work-life balance, one in which my manager is looking out for my best interests and will even encourage setting boundaries. Do I still crave control? Yeah, I'm human. But I've also seen areas in my life where I can let go of control and trust. Do I still want others to like me? Yes. But I do not feel the need to change who I am to gain approval or be liked. I am blessed to be in a community group that pushes me as I continue to work on these areas of my life. They remind me I am exactly who God made me to be. If you are here for the first time tonight, welcome. If this is your first time hearing these words, let me repeat them again. God knows you and he created you. Despite whatever sin or addiction brought you in these doors tonight, he loves you. And please stay, even if you are tempted to leave and not come back. Stay and let God work in your life, because I know the life change that came from him working in mine. My name is Deirdre. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from anxiety, control, and people-pleasing. And to God be all the glory.